And welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Mike Gregg and Brendan Cronin. This is another episode of the FFC Weekly Roundup, and in this episode, we're going to be previewing the upcoming FA Cup match for Fulham against Cardiff City. However, we will start the show by discussing some transfer speculation and then answering the questions you sent us on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. We have much to get through, but I want to bring on my co-host back to the show. First, let me talk to Mr. Mike Gregg. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Hi, Brendan. Happy New Year to yourselves and all the listeners. Yeah, I'm doing well. The end of the first few days back at work, but looking forward to the FA Cup and talking about this game and transfer speculation and other things that are going on as well. So, looking forward to the show, Russ.
I am too. Let me bring Brendan on and let's talk to Brendan. Brendan is in Ireland. Brendan, how you doing, my friend? Welcome back to the show. It's been a long time.
Hey, Russ, how are you? It has been a long time. So, yeah, very much excited to be back and very much excited to be talking about the game on Sunday and obviously all the transfer speculation as well. Happy New Year to everyone.
Well, Happy New Year to everyone out there listening to the show, and I look forward to doing this show with you guys. All right, like I mentioned, we're going to start off with some good transfer speculation. We have a decent amount of it. So, Mike, I am going to actually start with you. And I saw this on the Daily Mail a few days ago. Fulham have inquired, according to the Daily Mail, about getting Ross McCormack back on loan. What are your thoughts about this, Mike? Are you buying this?
Well, I mean, it has been the hot discussion on the online over the last couple of days. Yeah. Do you want Ross back, don't you? Does he fit in the system? Is he a bad egg like Martin? Are we getting rid of one striker for another striker? You know what I mean? I'm not in favour of him coming back. I think it definitely the story has legs. And, there probably is a possibility he's going to move. And I see Wolves possibly put a bid in for him. And, Jokanović did want him to be a player this year. You know, he's just, it was his decision to make the move. For me, it's the old saying about never go back. Never go back 5-6 months later would be what I would want to do. We had lots of discussions, didn't we, Russ, about what he brings to the team. Is he a good team player? Does he play for himself? Is it all about, me for him? And I just think we have we're not in that top six. We're thereabouts, just underneath. But what we've seen Kearney step up to the plate. Now he's moved into central position. We've got Johansson playing well. You know, the team is doing okay. And we've got the Martin issue, which I'm sure we will talk about tonight. So we are looking for a striker, but I just don't think Ross is that striker we need if we're going to continue with the formation that we're playing. You know, that one player in the middle who's the hub of everything. He's probably better up front with another striker. So we would need to look at changing the formation, I think. And yes, he will get you goals. But I think it's also shown over the last, 6-7 years, every team he's been at, he scores a bag of goals, but the actual team doesn't do very well. So I think there's something there where he doesn't really help the team in that sense. So it's a difficult one. He's a really, really good player, but he's also incredibly frustrating to watch. But I would prefer not to go down that route. I would, be looking elsewhere for two other strikers.
See, I'm there with you, and I see his value because, like you said, he's a proven goal scorer. There's no question about that, but with the situation Fulham are playing as a team, does he take away from the way that they play? Like you said, they probably would have to change formation because he doesn't really fit, Mike, in the way they play. Like you said, he probably fits with two players up front, but the way they're playing now, Mike, the fit's not there.
Well, no, this is it. And I've seen people say, he can be behind the striker. Well, okay, so but we still need to find a striker. So, okay, we get a striker.
Right.
Who does he replace? So does he replace a Luka, as someone else said? And so I went back at that bloke and said, okay, he replaces a Luka. We know McCormick can't play wide, so that means McCormick has to go in the middle. who do you put wide? Kearney again? So
no.
Then you lose Kearney's influence. And our season really kicked off from the moment we changed the formation slightly and Kearney was allowed to go inside. So, you know, for me, it's too disruptive in many ways, both for someone who basically did a runner in the summer and then to change the team. So, I would move on, you know, just move on. It's an option to go to. And somebody said to me, you know, 5-12, last day of the window, if we haven't got a striker, we'd have to take him. And even I would say, well, OK, yeah, you know, we will. But, I'd look elsewhere.
OK, and I'm there with you. I'm going to bring Brendan back on. And Brendan, I want to get your thoughts on Ross McCormack. And we're going to be talking about just in a couple of seconds, right after I get your thoughts on McCormack, I'm going to ask you about some speculation of a different type of striker. So what are your thoughts on this? I'm with Mike here. I think that, again, I know that he's a goal scorer. He scored all those goals for us. But the way that we play right now, I think if you bring him in, it changes everything that you do because you actually have to fit how you play around him. So it changes everything, Brendan. Would you want to see McCormack back with Fulham?
Yeah, okay. So I've changed my mind on this. Initially, when I first saw the link, I was quite excited. You know, look at his goal-scoring record. Look at the amount of chances that we've created this year, but we haven't been finishing them. You know, we needed that clinical striker. And initially, I was, yes, this is a great idea. He's not playing too well at Villa. Bring him back. He can score the goals we need to fire us into the playoffs. But then, you know, I listened to the wise Mike Gregg and a few other guys, and then I had a long think about it. And no, I've started to come around to the way that you're thinking now. You know, I think it, as Mike said, it's never really great to go back. You know, and I had kind of forgotten as well that, you know, he did something similar to Martin where he kind of went on strike and, you know, wanted a bigger contract. And, you know, we mustn't forget that. And as I said, most important, we have a system at the moment and it works. And what we really need is a particular type of striker. Right. And we probably shouldn't settle and try and change our system again. So, yeah, I've changed my mind on it. And I think that, you know, given his age as well and given all the drama that went on in the summer, I think the logical thing would be to step aside. And I personally don't think it's going to happen. I think the speculation has died down in the last few days. And I think it might just be paper talk, to be honest.
Yeah, listen, it's very interesting. And I wouldn't blame the club for inquiring. But if you really think about it, I don't see the fit. I don't see the fit for right now for what they want to do and how they want to play. So, all right, Mike, I'm going to go right back to you because, like I mentioned to Brendan, we have some talk about a different type of striker and a player that actually has been successful in the championship prior, and that is David Nugent. According to West London Sport, Fulham are interested in Middlesbrough striker David Nugent. Excuse me. What are your thoughts about him, and does he fit better into how Fulham would want to play? I know it's just speculation, though.
Well, yeah, again, you know, more discussions about Nugent on, certainly on the Friends of Fulham website where, you know, chatted about him. And what more can you ask? He's a player who scored 300 games in the Championship, scored over 100 goals in the Championship.
That's right.
Yes. He's been promoted twice, I think, in the last three years. And all I get is someone come back and go, well, he only scored 8 goals for Borough when they went up. But he was that Chris Martin role when he did play. He played
That's right.
38 games or something. So, you know, he was that central bloke. And one of the things I always look at is when a player is playing against us, certainly a well-known one like Nugent, you sort of think, oh, God, no, you know he's going to come on and score against us. And the majority of the time is, you know, he does. And he hasn't got much pace, but he is a hold-up player. He knows where the goal is. He's very similar to Rhodes in some ways that he knows where the goal is. Rhodes doesn't hold the ball up as much. But Nugent is an experienced player, and for someone to come in... The question is, would the squad be better with Nugent in the team or not, or in the squad? And the answer is yes. Would he be good enough to blast us to the playoffs over the next 5 months by being the main striker we bring in? I would say no. But as one of maybe two strikers, and certainly a replacement for Martin in that sense, then yeah, you know, Nugent is a good player, and I would certainly not be unhappy if he signed for us. But it's about how he comes in and who he comes in with. That's the key. And he wouldn't cost that much, but it seems to have gone quiet over the last 24 hours on him. And so whether he's going to stay at Borough or stay in the North, probably. I mean, apart from his being at Portsmouth, he spent most of his career up North. So I think it would take something to get him down here. But people go on, again, fans go on about, oh, he's not a Premier League player. Look, he's failing in the Premier League. The fact is, we are in the Championship. We need to get out of it. Worry about that when we get out. So you need the tools to get out of it. And he is someone, if you're in the Championship team, who wants to get promotion, I think he can add an awful lot to your squad.
And that's a good point, Mike, because it really is about getting out of the Championship, and having a player that has this Championship experience, goal-scoring experience, can help. And like you mentioned, he could fit that role. Now, obviously, he's not the only player, you know, that would be in that striker role. Like you said, you want to see who else is going to be playing that role. But could he do a job? Could he help us? Yes. So in that instance, I definitely would want him as part of this club. We'll have to see this. But Mike, if it's not Nugent, would you like them to target someone that can do the things that he does?
Well, yes, I would. I mean, there's lots of names being floated around, and you know, do you go for the League One, League Two strikers? Do you go for the Premier League strikers who aren't getting games? Do you look elsewhere in the Championship? Do you look abroad? But the fact is, you know, if we're going to continue the way we play, we need a hold-up player. It's nice to have another option, maybe a pacey young guy who's a bit raw. But, you know, we need that skill set. Someone who can score goals, obviously as a striker, but who can hold that ball up and lay off. We saw last week, Matt Smith can't do that.
He can't.
He doesn't have the ability to hold it up and lay it off consistently. So if we're going to do anything, that's the kind of player we need to go looking for.
Okay, very good. And I agree with that. I'm going to bring Brendan back on. And Brendan, you know, listen, we're talking about David Nugent, but the bigger thing is what Mike and I are talking about that I want to get your thoughts on. It's the type of role that he would fill, meaning that if it's not David Nugent, I think they need to find someone that would fill that role, be that central hub that things can flow off of. And I want to get your thoughts on Nugent, you know, having the Championship experience. But if they don't get Nugent, do you think they need to target someone like him?
I agree with Mike. It's kind of gone quiet now again the last few days, so I'm not sure what's going to happen with it. I like Nugent. Is he the striker that we all crave? Not. No. But would he improve us? Definitely. I think he's better than Colley Woodrow, is better than Matt Smith. I think he's better than Aite playing up front on his own. He's, you know, he's 31 years of age, so he's probably just past his prime, but well able to score goals, lots of experience. I wouldn't see him as a starter. I'd see him as a guy to bring off the bench, you know, with half an hour to go for a game is tight. He's a deadly finisher, given the amount of chances that we create. I think he'd score a lot of goals, you know, especially if he came in and hit the ground running. Just as Mike was talking there, I was trying to think, you know, and I have been thinking the last few days, who is out there to sign? It's like, we all crave this striker, but it's such a difficult time to bring someone in. It's, you know, the transfer, the prices are inflated. It's very bad value. You end up going to Europe then, you know, I mean, and, you know, you're bringing in players who aren't proven. It's a very difficult time, you know. Unfortunately, we're just in a position where, you know, we're just outside the playoffs, and if we bring in a striker to replace Martin and start scoring goals, you know, we have a good chance of making the playoffs. So it's really a critical month, but it's a very difficult decision. And you know, there's not many names spring to mind, to be honest with you. I know everyone keeps talking about Omar Bogle. I haven't seen much of him really, but he does look like he might have the attributes. And he's obviously scored a lot of goals for Grimsby this year.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, I'm going to bring Mike back on. And Mike, before we move to a different type of speculation, I want to ask you about one striker. You know, again, this is just social media talk. There's nothing concrete. I didn't see anything you know, from news media linking Fulham to this player. But again, it's just talk on social media. What about Patrick Bamford? Would you be interested in someone like him? Again, I haven't seen anything significant linking us to him. Just talk about the player. Would that be a player that would interest you?
Patrick Bamford's a really interesting one. There's a guy on Twitter who does a lot of stats, used to work for Brentford, and he raves about him all the time. And, you know, Bamford has a bad reputation now, having been to, what, you know, 3-4 clubs on loan and then seems to lose his way. And, I mean, I've seen him play against us a couple of times and I've never been that impressed, I have to say. But, you know, he must have something about him. For all the clubs wanting to, you know, take him on loan and that type of thing. But, yeah, I mean, at the moment, we need two strikers. So, again, is he the one who's going to really push you as the number one striker to be at the, you know, in the playoffs? And I'm gonna, given what I know of him and what we've seen, I'm going to say no. But, yeah, I mean, it is a tough one. As Brendan says, I mean, you look at all these strikers and you can gamble on the lower league guys, but you still need another one. So whatever Fulham do in this window, it has to be, for me, it has to be two strikers, because basically if we say Martin is gone, then you're left with Woodrow, who looks like he's going to go out on loan. And then you've got Matt Smith. And I know Matt Smith has his fans, you know, I'm not one of them, but he can do you a job. You know, he's fine as last 10, 15 minutes, but he really isn't good enough for us to be the main man. So we need a main striker, someone else as well, and then you can back him up with Smith and Humphreys if you like. So this is what Khan and McIntosh, who with no rig there now, these are the guys who are going to be making the deals and signing the checks, and they need to be out there looking for these two players. And I'll be disappointed, although I will understand why, but I'll be very disappointed if we don't get one in before the next league game.
Yeah, listen, it's a tough situation. That's why I'm glad we could talk about it. You know, everyone's like checking Twitter, please announce someone. And I understand that. I want them to bring someone in right away too, Mike. But here's the thing. This is a crucial period. They need to find the right guy. And I would rather, you know, I want it now. But if they can find the right guy and it's in a week or two, I can deal with it. But yes, I definitely would prefer it before the Barnsley match. That would be great. Because this is a crucial period for Fulham. All right, Mike, I'm going to go right back to you. I'm going to talk about a player, you know, I had high hopes for, you know, I heard a great deal about when we got him over the summer, but now there's reports he might be going out on loan. So I want to get your thoughts on this. According to Sky Sports, Leganés are interested in Yothabed on loan. What are your thoughts about this, Mike?
Well, it does look like he's going to go out on loan. I mean, it's a disappointment, you know, because, you know, I watch a bit of La Liga and saw him a couple of times last year. And when he's played for Fulham, I mean, he's made, you know, I think one start, six stubs or something like that. He hasn't played a huge amount, but when he was playing, he was playing behind the one striker. And then we've gone and changed the formation, as we mentioned earlier, which is basically gives us Kearney and Johansson behind the striker. And Hozabad, so my understanding is that Jokanović wanted him, and, you know, because he knows Spanish football. And he saw him as playing behind the striker. Now, they've changed formation. He hasn't been able to get in the team. The other thing is he's quite young. He's come over. He couldn't speak any English. He's single. So, you know, no family's come over with him. And he's found it quite tough. And obviously with not playing over the last few months, you can imagine that, you know, his morale is quite low. And so if Jokanović doesn't want him for the rest of the season, feels he should, you know, go back to Spain, get some games under his belt and then come back in the summer, then that's probably the best thing to do. And, you know, he wasn't in the squad the last game and, you know, one of the youngsters came in on the bench. So you've got to say, really, you know, he's 20, 21, 22 down the list in the players to actually get a game. So even on Sunday, if he doesn't get a game, you've got to think, you know, he's already on the easy jet flight back to Spain.
Okay, very good there, Mike. And listen, it might not be the worst thing for the player. I wouldn't give up on him. I would do what you just said. I'd send him out on loan, come back in the summer, and maybe he'll adjust a little bit better to life in England and could kick on from there. So I don't think it's a bad idea to send this player out on loan. All right, Brendan, back to you. Let's talk about a player that I'm disappointed that hasn't played that much for Fulham. And, you know, we could discuss why he hasn't played that much for Fulham lately. But it's LVC, so I'm going to bring you back on now. And I want to get your thoughts because there has been speculation out there from Hamian.com that Lasse Vigga Christensen could go out on loan. Would you send him out on loan if you were in charge of Fulham?
If I was in charge of Fulham, no. I definitely would keep him. He would have played a lot more. I'm a big fan of him. I was lucky enough to see him up close when they came to Cork for pre-season, and I thought he was one of the players that really impressed me. I thought he was excellent. I'm a big fan of his. I think at this stage, probably have to send him out on loan, you know. There's talk of him going back to Denmark, to his homeland, so, you know, that might help him out for a few months, but... you know yourself, Russ, a lot of times when you send players out on loan, it kind of means the end of their career, and then the summer they get sold. I'm not really sure. I'm a big fan of him, you know, and I'm disappointed he hasn't been playing more. You know, especially when we saw the likes of Eden and a few other youngsters in the squad. Yeah. You know, I think he should be in there, really. And, you know, I'm a bit disappointed by it.
Yeah, so am I. You know, what's funny about it, Brendan, before we move on, I've always been a fan of his, and I always thought that his best role would be central. But you have the situation that you have right now with Johansson and obviously McDonald. But then you see him, you know, they'll have him out on one of the wings. And I think his best role is central. We talked about it. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, for long periods last year when he did play and he played out in the wing, it just didn't work. You know, he's way more creative in the centre. He's more industrial. He's quite fit. Gets stuck in. Definitely long-term in the centre. But, you know, Slav, he has his system at the moment. He has his players. And, you know, it is working. So he's not going to change it. I think he's quite stubborn in that way. Yeah. So I think at this stage it's probably better to send him on loan, but I really hope that it isn't the end for him. You know, I hope he comes back in the summer and has a future because he's a really good player.
See, I agree with that. And you know, again, I think it's a numbers situation, yeah. Brendan. You know, where does he fit right now? I understand that, but I thought at some point he would have worked his way in. All right, Brendan, I'm going to put you back on hold. I'm going to bring Mike back on. And Mike, feel free to share your thoughts on LVC, but I definitely want to move on and talk about some speculation involving two defensive midfielders that I find interesting, because I've been asking myself, do Fulham need a defensive midfielder? So definitely want your thoughts on this, because Scottish Sun are reporting that Fulham are interested in Nir Bitton, who's a defensive midfielder from Celtic. On top of that, there's a report that Fulham are interested in Ibrahima Cisse, who's a defensive midfielder in Standard Liège. What are your thoughts of these two players being linked to Fulham, and do Fulham need a defensive midfielder?
Okay, well, I'll start with LVC. I mean, it is disappointing to see that he wants to go out on loan, and not only go out on loan or even, you know, leave the club, it's actually back to Denmark. So, you know, reading the Danish report the other day was that Fulham had actually turned down offers from British clubs. So, you know, he's under contract for another 18 months, but, you know, he came in, he was a sub against Reading, then he was not a sub the other day. So, you know, that was disappointing. I thought, here he is, he's got a chance with the, you know, the Martin issue. That leaves a space in the squad for someone to come in. And then you've got the guys going to the African Nations Cup. So I'll be disappointed if he doesn't play on Sunday. But, you know, all things are pointing to him possibly going out. And then you have these links with the two defensive midfielders who, I must admit, I don't know too much about. Well, I don't know anything about Cisse, I'll be quite honest. You know, a couple of people saying things today. And Nir Bitton, you know, anyone who catches a Celtic game over the last couple of years will have seen him play. I mean, he's a big, big man. But it is interesting that
he's 6'5".
It's interesting he's looking at defensive midfielders again.
Right.
So that that sort of tells you, well, you know, he doesn't see certainly Tunnicliffe or, you know, or LVC or maybe even Parker as that person to sort of replace McDonald. Or maybe he doesn't feel McDonald, you know, McDonald is doing the right job, or maybe he's considering going to two proper defensive midfielders and changing the formation again. So it is an odd one that we're being linked with this, with these guys. But then I saw one today that Bitten is actually linked with a Spanish side for about 3 years.
I saw that too.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it's a silly season, isn't it? But it is interesting that, you know, it's the defensive midfielders, and that just tells me that the players in the squad who haven't been playing aren't playing because he doesn't want them. You know, he wants to move them on. He brought 14 players in the summer, and it looks like we're going to offload, you know, if not in January, certainly in the summer, some others are going to go off. And we're already looking at replacing them. So, and it's disappointing because you want to see homegrown like LVC or even young guys like Tunnicliffe who have shown they can do something.
Right.
But I think in Jurkanović is one of those managers, you're either, I wouldn't say, your face fits or you're out. You know, you match the qualities he wants or you're out. And that is it's pretty black and white with him and by the looks of it. So, I mean, I think Fulham fans will go and melt down if we buy a defensive midfielder before a striker, but I think it's going to happen.
It's interesting, Mike. I actually was messaging back and forth with our friend Raphael Geller, who actually did a very interesting interview with Rene Molenstein that I recommend everyone listening to. I actually put it on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, but I was asking him about Bitten, and he was asking me, was a defensive midfielder a need? And I said, are you happy with the position? I said, I am. But that makes you think, well, is Savisa happy with it? Because I thought McDonald has been solid, Mike, but you're bringing up some interesting points. Maybe he's thinking about tweaking the formation at some point.
Well, it could be that, or he's just looking at, you know, strengthening the side. I mean, we seem to have got over our defensive lapses. And then, you know, despite doing fairly well over the last couple of months, you know, we've seen situations where we can't control a game, where we're not managing the game well enough when we're in the lead. So maybe he's looking for a much more of a defensive tackling holding midfielder, to replace the sort of Parker substitution that we get. So it might be just that kind of, you know, in-game tactics that he's looking to improve.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting situation. We'll see. You know, and like you said, Mike, if they sign a defensive midfielder before a striker, just watch out. I can just imagine what social media is going to be like if that happens. All right. Let's go on to some questions from the Fulham supporters. And Brendan, I'm going to start with you with the first one because I know the answer for Mike. I don't even have to ask Mike the question. The minute I say the question from Ben Reed, Mike's going to know why I'm not asking him. So I'm going to ask you. Here's a question from Ben Reed. We all think we need a striker, so name a name. Who do you want? I know who Mike wants. Who do you want?
There isn't a whole lot of strikers out there available. I'd like to look at this guy, Bogle. I haven't seen a whole lot of him, but, you know, his record is really good. He's young. He's 22. He's tall. He's quick. He's you know, and he's got good momentum at the moment because he's got 18 goals already in League One. I'd be happy with him. But again, I'd agree with Mike. I think Jordan Rhodes would be super. He's got a really good pedigree, scored a lot in the Championship, and knows it so well. He's the kind of striker you could bring in and he'd hit the ground running straight away. You know,
I totally agree with that.
I keep saying, given the amount of chances that we make, I think he would score bags of goals. But it's going to be difficult. It depends on what Middlesbrough want to do. I think they signed Gested from Villa during the week.
Right.
You know, they're not going to get rid of Nugent and Rhodes. I think it could be tricky. I'd say Rhodes could end up staying with Burrow until the summer. But yeah, I think either Bogle or Rhodes, I'd be pretty happy with. Not okay. Berbatov anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis is all. He's got his heart set on bringing back.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I don't see that happen either. Mike, real quick, you know, I know your love for for Jordan Rhodes. And I understand it because he obviously would be a great fit with Fulham. But here's my question to you. Would you have to bring them all out to make it work financially? Would it have to be a loan? Or if you bought them outright, would that mean that a player would have to go to make room for Jordan Rhodes because of the financial structure of it?
Well, I'm pretty sure we can. It depends how much they want for him. Was it 13 they paid for him, I think? So
yeah, something like that.
You're not going to get him for less than, certainly no less than 8, and probably you'd need to pay 10. But personally, I would go. You know, I would go with Rhodes. I would try to buy or at least loan, and then everyone, as Brendan says, a lot of people mentioning Bogle, and when you see he does score a lot of goals, and maybe that's the right thing to do, is to buy, you know, one recognised, experienced striker, which is what Rhodes is, and then a younger guy who potentially is going to earn us some money if he ends up being a good player. Or, let's go to Middlesbrough and get Nugent and Rhodes. Let's do a double swoop or something like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
No, but seriously, no. I mean, it would be Rhodes. Right. And absolutely no hesitation would be trying to get that deal done now. And then go for one of the younger guys. And can I just go back to something we were talking about earlier, which is, we want a striker. Other teams want strikers. You know, you're looking at Hogan from Brentford being quoted £15 million. I mean,
that's crazy.
Please, but the lower leagues will be easier to buy a striker like Bogle because they want the money. But the higher quality players, the top strikers, it's like a merry-go-round. You take one and that allows that team to then buy another player, and then that allows it. So you need someone to get the sort of the dominoes effect. But these things aren't going to happen until towards the end of the window, because everyone's just waiting for that right player to become available. They don't want to make the mistake of, getting the wrong player, and they want to get the right price. So there's lots of factors taken into account, but there's 20 teams out there all looking for a striker. So these windows are tough.
They are, Mike. And you brought up a good point because, I see everyone, basically saying, why are they taking so long to sign a player? Again, I'm paraphrasing. I'm just saying talk about, sign a player now. And a lot of it has to do with the other teams. It takes two to make a deal. And you just talked about one of the reasons why all these deals seem to happen at the end, because it's a domino effect. People panic at the end, and sometimes everything happens at the end. And that's why you have to be patient. If you want the right player, if you want the right player, sometimes you got to be patient. I want them to sign a player tomorrow, but I also want them to find the right player. I don't want them to sign a player just to sign a player. All right, Mike, right back to you. We have a couple questions from Gary Cooper. I'm going to answer the second one, but I'm going to give you the first one. Here's the first one for you, Mike. If we get a striker that is on the level that Ross McCormack was at his time at Fulham, will we make the playoffs or better? Also, do you think a better option for the Brighton game would be starting Humphreys up front? And do you think Humphreys will start against Cardiff in the Cup on Sunday? That's a lot to digest, Mike, but take on those questions from Gary.
I mean, if you get a striker we're halfway through the season, you want a 20-goal-a-season striker. So you're looking for someone to come in who's going to get you 10, 12 goals. I mean, we are scoring goals. It's odd. We're all screaming for a striker, but the fact is Martin's only got 7, and it's the other players who have all chipped in. So, but you want a striker who's going to get you, I would say, between now and the end of the season, if they get you 10-plus goals, then, that means we will have been doing well. So, yes, a top-quality striker will get us in those playoffs, as long as they fit the system, of course. And Humphreys, I would definitely start against Cardiff, and no hesitation there. Because I would not play, we'll talk about a team later, but I wouldn't play an awfully strong team on Sunday, although Jurcanovic says he's going to. So,
he sounds like he is going to, though, Mike.
Yeah, he's overruled me on that one. But but yeah, I would play Humphreys on Sunday.
Okay.
And what was the question about Brighton? Sorry.
Yeah, he says, do you think a better option for the Brighton game would have been starting Humphreys up front?
No, because he's a young lad. I like him a lot. I've seen a lot of him, but he's not ready to start a game. Certainly not against a team at the top of the table like Brighton are. You know, if it was Rotherham at home, that might be a different question. But I think he had to go with Smith. But although there are other arguments for going, maybe he should have pushed a Luko into the middle. You know.
Yeah. He's put striker
and done
before.
Something else on the wing. Yeah, yeah. So, but he did what he did, and, we saw what happens. But, definitely Humphreys, though, for Sunday for me.
Okay, very good. All right. Here's Gary's other question. I'm going to take this on, and then I'll go back to you guys and get your thoughts of what I share of Gary's question. Gary says, by keeping Martin at the club, and he's not playing and throwing the proverbial toys out of the pram, do you think it's going to cause disruption within Fulham and cause a slight loss of focus? Is it worth the unrest? Okay. I thought about this question when I saw it from Gary, and it could obviously have that effect on certain teams. But I also think those are teams that don't have strong leadership. We have Savica Jurcanovic, so the leadership starts at the top. I think that changes the dynamic here. He's already made his point fairly strong about how Fulham are being run and the situation with Martin. He's in charge. So that sets the tone. And that allows the players to play. And I've seen in these situations, when you have strong leadership, the players come together and they actually thrive upon it. They look at the situation as a challenge and it bonds them all together. So I see this possibly, you want your strikers playing, but in this situation, I don't see it as a negative distraction. I see it as possibly a situation that could bring the team together. That's my thoughts on it. Mike, before I go to Brendan, what are your thoughts on this? Do you feel like I do, or do you see this situation as being a possible disruption?
I mean, it is disruption. But you do hope that the team get together and sort of, stick two fingers up at him. And we get together and we're going to battle through this. But, it's disrupting everyone at the moment. And we need it resolved as soon as possible, really. And I see no way back for him.
Okay, very good, Mike. And listen, I understand where you're coming from on that. I'm going to bring Brendan back on. And Brendan, I want to get your take on this situation, because I've seen situations where someone that's disruptive, and yes, I will agree with Mike, he's disruptive. And it could cause an issue, cause lack of focus, cause issues with the overall club. I've also seen it turn into, a bad situation turning into a good situation where it brings the team together. Where do you fall on this?
It's a very tricky situation. Like Mike, I think, there is going to be disruption going forward. But we do have the right man to handle it. As you said, Slav is a big figure, and I think if anyone is going to deflect the attention, it's going to be him. I think Chris Martin is finished with Fulham, to be honest with you. And I think the best thing that we can do is just hold on to him, but not play him. Leave him rot, leave him go down and play with. Not even the other 23s, just leave him train. I don't think we should send him back, because if we send him back, we're handing the advantage straight to Derby, who are, also in the going for the playoffs. And I think given his record with Derby before, especially underneath, playing for McLaren, I think he would go back and score that goals.
I think he would too.
It'd be an advantage Derby straight away. So it's a very tricky situation, but I think we need to stick to our guns really and let him just rot for the rest of the year, to be honest with you. I definitely don't think we should keep sending him back, and I definitely don't think he should be any near the team.
Okay. So in your mind, there's nothing that can be done to come back from this, even if he apologized.
I don't think so, Russ. I mean, long term, he's not going to stay, is he? Really? Well, I would take him away from the first team altogether, leave him training with the 18s, 17s, something like that. Or just keep him away from the first team.
Well, listen, that's what they did. That's what they did with Clint Dempsey, and they felt like they needed to do that. So if they feel like they need to do that in this situation, I certainly wouldn't be against them doing that. I was just trying to think of, you know, is there a way back from this? So, Mike, I want to go to you. I know you feel very strongly about this, but what if, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm not going to say that this is going to happen. What if he did apologize? What if he did come around? Is there a way back for him, or are you like Brendan, there's no way back, and basically keep him away from the first team?
Well, I mean, I was a bit short with my answer before because I have been on social media and talking to other people about this as well. Personally, I would put him on gardening leave. I would say to him, "You're on loan. He's feigning injury. Let's not be around the bush here."
Yeah.
And, you know, he's making himself unavailable. I'm so angry. You know, this is a player who I've backed when other people haven't liked him. I've explained what he offers to the team. You know, I've constantly supported him. And then the Reading game, which was an atrocious night to travel to a game. You know, I drove and, you know, speaking to other people, we were risking our lives in silly ways to get to a game, you know, because other people are driving 100 miles an hour in fog that's, you know, visibility of about 50 feet. And you get there and here's a bloke who's, you know, leading up to it, we're told he's gone on strike. And there he has, you know, he said, I want to go home. I want to go to Derby. Well, you've got a contract, mate.
Yeah.
So one game, and he's not available for a second game. For me, no way back. I don't want to see him wear a Fulham shirt again. I don't care if he, you know, goes in the centre circle with a microphone and apologises. Is there other reasons this is going on? You know, and we've all heard gossip and read stuff. I don't really care. You don't go on strike. You know, as an individual, as a footballer, you know, I'm a union person, so I understand about going on strike for other reasons. But this is a bloke who just wants to go back to Derby because Steve McLaren wants him. And Derby have rocked the boat. McLaren's rocked the boat. So, yeah, Kanovich is doing the right thing, and I hope the club back him.
He totally is.
Yeah, I hope the club back him. But, you know, in the end, it will be down to Jokanović and the club to say, OK, we accept your apology. You're going to play. But, you know, the response that player gets if he ever wears a white shirt again or a Fulham shirt again will be very interesting because I will cheer goals if he plays, but I will not clap his name. I will, you know, he's dead to me as a Fulham player. And that might sound quite harsh, but.
No, it doesn't. I understand it, Mike. I actually understand it. I mean, yeah. There's one thing, you know, and we've talked about this on the show, and I've talked about this on a prior show. Listen, I wanted Martin here. I see his value. I see what he does for Fulham right now. That's why it's driving me crazy. He is someone that could really help us if he wanted to play for Fulham. But there's one thing that I cannot stand, and that's someone not willing to play. We could talk about him being injured, and I'm going to mention in a little bit that Savica comes out and says that Martin's injured. He said that in the video that the team just released. Okay, maybe it's true, maybe it's not true, but we've seen enough of what's going on. We've heard enough. I shouldn't say we've seen enough. We've heard enough speculation out there to lend us to think that maybe there's something else going on there. If he is refusing to play, I understand why you feel so strongly about this, Mike. I do. It's just such a bad situation that this player has put us in. And, you know, because I'm trying to convince myself, well, if he apologizes because I see what he offers. But there's a big part of me that agrees with everything that you just said. You should never go out on strike against your team. You are letting your teammates down. You're letting so many people down. That's the one thing you shouldn't do. All right. I'm going to bring Brendan on. Brendan wanted to share one more thing on this. Brendan, back to you. Your thoughts on this situation.
Yeah, Ross, thanks. I just wanted to make a point. I'm really surprised with Chris Martin as a person. I mean, I remember the first time he signed for the club, he signed just before the transfer window, and I think he was away with Scotland at the time, and I think he came down, did the medical, had an interview with the club. And the first thing that struck me was how articulate the guy was and how educated I thought he was. And I remember thinking to myself, he doesn't come across as your modern-day footballer. You know, a lot of modern day footballers, they're brats, they're greedy, you know. I felt he was very mature, very articulate, you know, he seemed like he was educated. The same in the game against Derby, where he came, I think he spoke to Gentleman Jim at halftime or spoke to someone. I'm just really surprised by him, you know what I mean? Okay, if he wanted to go back to Derby for whatever reason, that's fair enough. But you have to work out your notice, you know what I mean? If we wanted to move jobs and we got another job, we'd still have to work out our notice for, you know, the month or whatever. So I'm really surprised in him. I didn't think he was that kind of character. And I just, again, it's crazy. Like, that. This is a professional footballer. I was over at the Reading game there in December, and you know, he scored 2 goals that day. Like, it's just crazy that these guys can just dictate as much as they can. You know, they should really want to play football. And, you know, like, that's just, like, deciding not to play and sit in the sidelines and watch your teammates that you've trained with over the last couple of months that you've been socialising with and let them down with that. I just, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I just think it's crazy. And I'm quite surprised by him, really.
Okay, very good. And listen, this is a toxic situation we have to talk about. We've talked about it a great deal, but I see where both of you are coming on this Chris Martin situation. It's really, really a horrible situation that the player has put the club in. You know, he can say he's injured. Maybe he is. But, you know, again, there's too much going around it that makes me think that there's something else to it. To the fact that Savisa Jokanović came out and said that he's been offered a new deal in more years from Derby County. So you can read into that what you want. But it's just a bad situation. And there's no easy way around it. The best thing the club can do is to find replacements regardless. They have to do that. They have to put form first, and they have to find replacements. All right, guys, let's now get into our preview of the FA Cup match. And like we were talking about in the beginning, Mike, I'm going to go to you first. I'm just going to read the team news. And I also read the preview that had some quotes from Slavisa. And it sounds like, you know, I'm paraphrasing because I'm not going to read what is in the preview, but it sounds like to me Savisa's going to go out with a strong team, and the team news is going to back this up. Here's on the full website that was released a little bit earlier, so I'm going to read directly from the article. When asked if he's going to field the strong starting 11 in the Emirates FA Cup on Sunday, Savisa Jokanović confirmed that he would. Quote, "Yes, I'm going to choose from the players who are available for the game, our best team," he explained. He will be without a number of first-teamers for the meeting with Cardiff City, though. Florida Ite and Niskins Cabana are away on international duty, while Tomas Kalas remains sidelined and fellow center-back Michael Maddle is a doubt. There is a possibility Michael Maddle could be available to play some part of the game, Jokanović revealed. We have to be careful with Kalas. I expect next game or the one after he's going to be available. That's actually some good news about Tomas Kalas. They need him back as soon as he can get back. On loan striker Chris Martin remains out of the contention, with Jokanović stating, "You know my position, it's the same as a club, and he's going to stay with us. This situation takes up so much energy, and I have more important things to think about. I'm not coaching only one player, I'm coaching 23 players. You know my position, and I don't have any intention of changing it." All right, Mike, over to you. Let's just get your thoughts on the team news and also these quotes from Savisa Jokanović.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting one. I've been basing this week's sort of team on similar to the League Cup teams from earlier in the season.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like he's going in that direction.
No, it doesn't. Or it's, you know, if there are going to be changes, you might see session on coming, that type of thing. But, you know, the subs going onto the starting bench at the starting 11, and then you know, everyone else going on the bench and a couple of the other players maybe coming in, but not the whole, you know, not Adrián de Torre, those kind of guys coming in, which is what I was going to expect. But there's also another interesting thing. Tomorrow there's the under-18 game, but there's also a Premier League 2 game. Yeah, under-23s are playing. So the ability to actually take a shed load of those players, because I thought actually it would be a good game to give Aaron Davis his debut, you know, at centre-back. Given all the problems we've had there, but you know, so it does look like it's going to be out of that sort of 18-man squad we've had, plus know, we might see Tunnicliffe, we might see LVC, and a couple of the other guys who haven't hardly kicked a ball recently. But, you know, I'd be surprised if he really puts out, you know, Button, Fredericks, Malone, you know, that whole sort of, you know, back line plus play Smith up top. I just can't see it. He's going to make changes because I don't think he's that stupid, you know, with a week before, you know, the start of potentially the most important part of the season so far. So you're going to ask me to name a team shortly, and I have no idea what I'm going to name.
Okay. Yeah, I am going to ask you to do that in a little bit, Mike. All right. All right, Brendan, I'm going to go back to you in 1 second. Before I do, I definitely want to share some information from whoscored.com on Cardiff City, just to give you an idea of the team form or plan. I know that we played them earlier in the year. They're a little bit different, but, you know, again, they have a different manager. It's Neil Warnock, so you might see a different style here. But I'm just going to share some information, some characteristics of them, and then I'll bring you back on, Brendan. Strengths. Attack and set pieces, very strong. Creating scoring chances, very strong. They are strong at stealing the ball from the opposition, defending set pieces, and aerial duels. Weaknesses. They're very weak at defending counterattacks. That's a very good thing to know. They're also just weak at finishing scoring chances, avoiding offside, keeping possession of the ball, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas, defending against long shots, defending against skillful players. Their style play, attack through the middle. They take a lot of shots. And you're going to be seeing, I think you're going to see a great deal of what I'm about this year, long balls. And they attempt crosses often. I think their style is going to be very different than the style of Fulham in this. Brendan, what are your thoughts about the information I just shared with you from whoscored.com on Cardiff City ahead of this match?
Yeah, it's bang on. They play the long ball, you know, they're like an old Stoke or Bolton from back in the 70s days. They use long throws quite a lot. Defensively, they're poor. I think they're the fourth worst defensive team in the league. They don't score a huge amount of goals. They're on the lower half as well for scoring. So their style is completely different to us. Obviously, we're a very good passing team with high possession of the football, very good in the counter-attack. I think he's going to play a strong team. And I think, you know, we have potential to give them a good old hammering, you know, if we turn up and play a strong team. So I think it's definitely in favor for us tomorrow.
Mike, over to you. I think this is going to be different types of styles in this match. I could be wrong, but it sounds like, to me, based on what I've watched from them, the style of play are going to be very different, Fulham playing against Cardiff City. So who are your key players for Fulham against a team like Cardiff City?
Well, the thing is, Cardiff is going to be a little bit unknown as well, because Warnock's already said that he's going to...
He has already said that, so you're right.
Yeah, he's going to put out a weaker team. So, but a Warnock team will play probably 4-4-2 or certainly direct and hard. And, you know, he doesn't like us and we don't like him. So he's going to be telling whoever's playing to, you know, get in there and kick these, you know, this London team in the air, which is what what he's good at. But who's going to be key for us? Well, like I said earlier, I have no idea what the team is going to be. If
Parker can I throw out plays, a name? Can I throw out a
yeah,
name? Scott Malone.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play Scott Malone. You know, part of me wants him to play Ryan Sessegnon, but I see this as an opportunity to play Scott Malone against his former side and potentially go against you-know-who.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I think he'll play Sessegnon. I'm going to say the most important player will be Parker.
Okay.
I think Parker will get a start, and I'm hoping Bettinelli gets a start as well. So those two players, they're going to be key to the game for me on Sunday.
Okay, very good there, Mike. All right. Brendan, back to you. You've been looking at Cardiff City. What do Fulham need to do to win the match?
Okay, so from our own point of view, we got to keep doing what we're doing, you know, keep playing our football, keep passing the ball on the ground, keep the possession up. We need to be tight at the back, and especially from set pieces and from crosses. So if it means Sigurdsson and Ream, they got to keep it nice and tight, you know. So they should be quite good in the air, but our fullbacks got to watch for the crosses. So that's most of it. That's it, really. Long throws. Set pieces, and just play our own football, try and catch them on the counter-attack, try and be a bit cute, and we have to be physical because, as I said, as Mike said, Neil Warnock doesn't like us, and they're going to be physical, so we have to match them with physicality as well, and it would work great.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. All right, Mike, this is the part you don't want, but I'm going to give it to you. What's your starting 11?
Okay, I'm sort of doing this on the fly. I had written down. Let me name the team I would have actually picked, okay?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would have picked Bettinelli, Fossey at right-back, Sessegnon at left-back, Sigurdsson and Davis at the back four.
I like it.
And then I would have had a midfield three of Tunnicliffe, Christensen and Adrian. And then I would have had Humphreys up top with Del Toro and Eden as the wide players. So
You would have gone really with the Premier League 2 team. Pretty much.
Because, I think you have to protect the players we've got, the first team players. We've seen that we have a good 18 match day squad and a good starting 11. But once you drop down, once players start, getting injured or going off to Africa or whatever, or going on strike, we suddenly look quite thin. So personally, I would protect as many as possible of the real first team. So I would have gone with that. But my feeling now is that we're going to see something a bit stronger. So I think he will play Bettinelli. I think Adoree will be right back. I think we'll see Sigurdsson and Ream again. I still think Sessegnon will be left back. I think Parker will start. I think he might even go with Kearney and Johansson, those three. I think he'll start with Humphreys up top. And I think Eden will start. He was on the bench the other day, so wouldn't be surprised to see him there. And Piazon, possibly. So I think it'll be that kind of, that kind of team. But I would like to see a few more changes, though.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's now go to predictions. I have a good amount on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. Bad on me, I forgot to put it up on the Twitter. Do a Twitter poll, so I just have some comments on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. That was a mistake I made. But let's go through them. Let's start with Mr. High Noon, Gary Cooper. I think 3-1 to Fulham. Easier task than Brighton. Start Humphreys up front and surprise Cardiff. Mario Gold says 1-1 draw for Sunday with a 2-1 win for Fulham back at the Fortress. Andy Newland says 3-0 to Fulham. Paul Stutley, be tough, but going for a 2-1 Fulham. Robert Llewellyn Yell says 5-1 to Fulham. David Brewcast, I think we'll go there and give our usual away performance and beat them 3-1. Richard Bambert, 2-0 to Fulham. Jazzmeister, Owen Cole, and Malone. I love that. Trevor Atkins, 1-0. Simon Haneed, 4-1 to Fulham. Gerald Graves, 1-0 to Fulham. Jeanette Philpott, 2-1 to Fulham. Steve Aldridge, 2-1 to Fulham. Our co-host and our friend who runs Friends of Fulham, very funny, Scott Tanfield. Cardiff 27, Fulham 6. Very funny, Scott. I saw the message on that too. Adam Hicks, 1-1. Ian Walworth, if he takes it seriously, yes, a win is expected, but will he? Well, Ian, it sounds like he's going to take it seriously. Lester Nichols, 3-1 to the mighty Fulham. Will Johns, 3-1 to Fulham. And Jason Helms, 4-1 to Fulham. All right, Mike, I'm going to start with you. What's your prediction for the match on Sunday?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a number of goals, and I'm going to go for a 3-2 win to Fulham.
3-2. All right. All right, Brendan, I'm just going to bring you back on. Let's see. All right, Brendan, what's your prediction?
It's funny Mike said that because I have it written down here on a piece of paper, 3-2 to Fulham. Exactly the same.
Okay, 3-2 to Fulham. All right.
Yeah.
All right, good. All right, I'm going to go. Oh, boy, this is a tough one. I'm going to say 2-1 to Fulham, and I'm not going to predict goal scores because I keep getting them wrong, but I'm just going to go 2-1 to Fulham. I think that they can win, and I think that he's going to go with a strong side. And, Mike, you make a strong argument why he shouldn't, but Sounds like Savisa is going to put out a strong side if we're reading between the lines there, but we shall see on Sunday. All right. Let's go to final thoughts. Brendan, I'll go to you first. Give me your final thoughts before we go, my friend.
Yeah, first of all, Russ, thanks for having me on. It's been a while, so I'm delighted to be back on the show and very much enjoyed discussing the game. I'm looking forward to it. I think he will play a strong team, and I hope he does, because I'd love to get a cup run. You know, I think it's been a long time since we've got a cup run. And I think, you know, given our aspirations in the league, I would love us to win and get the momentum going. You know, I heard, I think John Panzer in his interview during the week said that he had heard some of the players had a meeting and that they wanted to go on a 5-game run. And I think this could help, you know.
I heard that. Yeah.
So it's a really good opportunity for us. I think that, you know, if we go and we play our style, I think we will score goals. I think, as I said, I think we will concede because they're going to be well drilled from set pieces. But just very much looking forward to it. And I think we'll win it. And I really think that it, you know, it'll give us a good start. And maybe next week, if we can bring in the striker too, it'll be a good start to January and a good start to the new year. You know, hopefully help us along the way. So I'm very, very positive about it all together.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. Mike, over to you. What's your final thought before we go?
Well, I'd just like to wish all the fans going to Cardiff on Sunday a safe trip. I know some of them are going down tomorrow. But I'd just like to reiterate that, you know, what a stupid time this game is kicking off at 11:30 due to
it's
being
crazy.
Shown on TV.
It's crazy.
I don't think in nearly 40 years of going to football I've been so underwhelmed by the start of the FA Cup, you know, third round weekend. It's such a silly time to play a game. But, you know, in one way, for us not going, we're lucky it's on TV. But, you know, it could have been an hour later would have helped people on the trip there. But the other thing I really want to finish on is the whole Martin fiasco. And
go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, it's go ahead. The danger is it's going to disrupt badly. You know, you can just see up to Christmas, we're all looking forward to everything. And, you know, since then it's been stop start and, you know, it's all now looking doom and gloom. And every day it's have we signed anyone? And all I can hope is that they resolve it either way over the next week before the league game. And if he is going to stay and he's not going to play, then literally just tell him not to come to the training ground, because you need these players, the manager, the coaches, everyone to concentrate on the important thing, which is getting that 5-game run, which Brendan mentioned that John Panzer had said that the team needs. And we all agree, don't we? We need that 5-6-game winning run.
I totally
in those
agree.
League games coming up. So... yeah, I really want the Martin thing sorted out ASAP, and then we can, you know, push it to one side and move on. But, you know, hopefully that will be done.
Okay. Mike, I'm not going to go with a final thought. It's going to be a final topic, and I'm going to go right back to you because we're talking about these 10 matches. Crucial. These next 10 matches are crucial. There is a situation where they could potentially go on a 5-game winning run, which I think they need to do. But I'm going to ask you, of these 30 points, how many points do Fulham realistically need, do you feel, to kick on in these 30 points? There's 30 points available. How many do they need?
Okay, so if you look at it, because putting my stats hat on, by the time we reach the 24th, 25th game, we need to get from these 10 games 22, 23 points, really, and then we will be in sixth place. So that's my target from those 10 games, but realistically we would probably need to win 8 of them, because then after these 10 games we've got, you know, an even we've got a harder run. So this is where we're going to have to bank points and be in a good position for that, you know, the last dozen games, if you like. And but we do need something like 7 or 8 wins from those 10 games. There's no doubt about that. Or we can just forget it.
It's there for them, Mike. It really is. But you know, the it's going to happen in these 10 matches. Like you said, the run after that is going to be difficult. The fixtures after that. So they need to bank a good amount of points here. That's why I wanted to ask you how many points you think that they need. You're saying they probably need about 8 victories, 8 out of 10. Boy, that's a lot. But I think it's possible if you look at these fixtures. They should, you know, there's no, I mean, they should be favored in every one of these matches. They should be the team to beat in every one of these matches. I've looked at the 10. So there's no reason why they can't, I hate to say it, there's no reason why they can't win all 10. They're not going to win all 10, but they're there for them. Well, I guess that's my final thought.
I mean, yeah, no, Russ, absolutely. You know, we shouldn't be afraid of anyone, and we're not afraid of anyone. And we showed against Brighton what we can, you know, 2 games we played against them, we've been a better team for, you know, a good 3 quarters of the 2 matches. And but we've come away with nothing. So it goes back to the old 10% argument, you know, discussion that we're always having.
Yeah.
But you look at those teams we're playing in those 10 games, and I think 9 of them are in the bottom half. So we, you know, that's your target. That's what we should be looking to do. So and we shouldn't be, and we are not frightened of any of them, but we just have to turn that our dominance into the wins we desperately need.
Right. And that's what it's going to come down to, execution and getting the points. We could talk about playing attractive football, which they have been playing. Really, it's not about that right now. I like the attractive football, but it really is about getting the points, and they have to be ruthless. I think the difference right now between them and Brighton is Brighton are ruthless. They take advantage of their opportunities. They might not get many, but they seem to score on them, and Fulham need to be more ruthless. I think that's what it comes down to. They need to take advantage of their opportunities at a higher clip, similar to how Brighton are doing it. Brighton, talent-wise, are not a better team than Fulham, but they're a better team because they finish. Fulham are not finishing high enough. I'm talking about finishing games off. They need to be doing that, and I think they have the ability to. All right. Great show, guys. Thank you so much for Brendan for joining us, and Mike, you were fantastic as always. But it is time to go. For Brendan and Mike, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.